This is Twit.
Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard arguments on a very oddball case, if you ask me. This is a lawsuit against Apple that accused it of breaking federal antitrust laws by monopolizing the market for iPhone software, for iPhone apps, and as a result causing consumers to overpay. The justices heard an hour of arguments yesterday. Apple appealed a lower court decision that would... Now, remember, this is just to allow the class action lawsuit to go forward. This is not on the merits of the lawsuit, but whether this class action lawsuit could even be filed. It was filed in 2011 by a group of iPhone users seeking monetary damages. Now, you know how we feel about class action lawsuits. Generally, they benefit only the lawyers who are filing them, and anybody who's been a beneficiary of a class action lawsuit knows at best you're going to get an iTunes gift card for 59 cents. But I think it's interesting that the lower court said that the suit could continue. The Supreme Court, in fact, according to people who listened to the arguments, seemed like they were also inclined to let it continue. The lawsuit said Apple violated federal antitrust laws by requiring apps to be sold through the App Store and then taking a 30% commission. Thoughts, gentlemen?
I mean, I think developers reading this are just crying, going, 30% of what? 30% of what? Yeah. No one's paying for our apps.
Yeah.
Well, it's another case. Go ahead, Alex.
All I was going to say is that we're not talking about the merit of the case because there is no merit to this case. We have never paid so little for so much as what we have now on our phones. I mean, when you look at compared to what we used to buy and what we used to pay $50 for or $60 for on our laptops and what we still sometimes pay on a desktop, what we pay now for what we're getting, it may have hurt the developers. It is not hurting the consumer. You know, we get an enormous amount of value for very little, and the Apple's take of that is not really what's affecting that. I think it's more the culture of what people are willing to pay. And I think that also the issue is that the idea that they have a monopoly over it is like saying Sears has monopoly over what you can sell at Sears. I mean, you know, the idea that you know, Apple, the advantage of Android existing is that Apple is a minority stakeholder. I mean, in the market, you know, if you don't like this market, the majority of people are using another platform. So I don't think there's any value in the actual lawsuit. But what is at stake is whether you can and what the Supreme Court is really looking at is who's the relationship with. That's all they're deciding. Who's the consumer relationship with? Is it with the end seller or Apple? And I will say that I generally think that the Ninth Circuit Court is kind of a Mickey Mouse Ralph Nader court. You know, like anything that like this that will go through, the Ninth Circuit Court will approve. But I do think the Supreme Court, even a conservative Supreme Court, may side with the plaintiffs on this, not on the plaintiffs, on the defendants in this case, who will be the future plaintiffs, because I think that the relationship is a little murky. You know, between while you're buying from a vendor, most of us don't even know who that vendor is. We buy the app on the phone. We have almost no relationship with that, with the vendor. And so I think that it is going to be hard, an uphill battle for Apple to win this from a liberal or a conservative court.
Yeah, it's another instance of the law is hysterically funny. Because you think it's a simple issue, but then you look at the arguments and you realize that, yeah, this is why you have to go to law school for a number of years. Not because reality is that complicated, but because legal arguments, if you really, really want to win, you have to pick and choose how you fight your battles. And it can't be literally the way that the argument is being presented. All the skepticism that the Supreme Court has been reported on about the hearings yesterday was about Apple's argument that the case should be thrown out on the basis that the consumer does not have a relationship with Apple. The business relationship is between the consumer and the app developer. And the precedent they're citing for this is the signature case regards the selling of bricks. That can a consumer sell the manufacturer of bricks because you've uh, a a bricklayer made a bum wall for them. And they're saying, well, no, the consumer didn't buy the bricks from the brick manufacturer. They bought the wall. The bricklayer bought the bricks and then sold a service containing bricks to the consumer. And all of the with only like one exception, according to the news reports, they all said, I don't think that's the same thing at all. The argument that the suit is trying to make is that, and this is the other problematic thing on their side, is that they're saying that because there is absolutely no alternative but to go through the App Store to buy apps, because there is no other way to develop apps for the iPhone and the iPad, because there is no way to avoid that 30% tariff, so to speak, on every single app, the developers are forced to pass additional prices on to the consumer. And I don't know how, and I don't know if the case gets to that state, how much luck they're going to have suggesting that all these apps that cost a dollar, that cost nothing, compared to, I think really all, if it does go that far, I think Apple just has to produce ads from any issue of Mac User or Mac World from the mid 90s and show them how much a text editor cost back then, and show them or any ad for Palm Trio apps back in the day, how much did a simple spreadsheet that did practically nothing cost? Would cost $50.
It would be my sticky notes app cost $30, Andy.
Yeah, but I do think to wind it up, I do think that it's an important thing to be argued that the Android doesn't have this problem because there's a switch buried deep into settings that says this is a really dumb idea, but if you touch this switch, which we're telling you is a dumb idea, you'll be able to sideload apps from any source everywhere, and that's dumb and dangerous and you really shouldn't do it, but okay, you're a functioning adult, we will let you do that. And we also see the problems that were solved by Apple not making the App Store mandatory on macOS, when a company like Barebone Software decided that we are being put through all kinds of terrible gymnastics, forced to work on so much code for our app that does nothing but serve the interests of the of Apple's App Store, and taking away from our time making services and features that will benefit consumers. We've decided that we would much rather spend all that time on making sure that our consumers are happy, as opposed to Apple's App Store guidelines are happy, and they're free to do that, whereas they're not free to serve their customers that way if they were doing iOS apps. So I hope this question gets answered in one shape or form, but realize that when you talk about at this stage Apple being, quote, losing the battle, they're basically just having one argument that they were making kind of kicked to the curb, and it just will rely on what gets allowed to go to get argued next, as opposed to ending or winning or losing totally.
Right. I mean, and the issue is that in any legal battle, you never know how that end battle is going to go. So no matter how obvious this may seem to us, that the silliness of this suit on many levels, the issue is Apple is, of course, going to look for, any good lawyer is going to look for all the little things, all the motions that they can file before we even get to that court case. Because once you're in a court case, there's no guarantee. And no matter how good you think your court case is, there's no guarantee you're going to come out on the other side with the right judge or with the right jury that's going to give you your decision. So what you want to do is try to invalidate. And these motions are very common. The fact that it got all the way to the Supreme Court is kind of amazing. It sounds like Apple did shoot it down at first, and probably if it had been anywhere else in the country and didn't go through the Ninth Circuit, it probably would have not made any further.
This is not what they're deciding. But, let me just to be clear. What the Supreme Court is deciding is standing. And this comes back to the issue of who has the right to sue. And it goes back to this brick case. The Illinois Brick Company was being charged under the Sherman Antitrust Act with monopoly because they price fixed bricks. And the Supreme Court in 1977 ruled that only direct customers of the brick company had the right to sue. The U.S. government did not have the right to sue because they weren't buying the bricks directly. And so what happened is Apple was sued, and the issue that Apple fought over was, well, the class action has no merit because it's not from people who are directly affected by this. It's by indirect purchasers, and under Illinois Brick, they don't have standing to sue. The Ninth District ruled that they did. That's what the Supreme Court has decided. It's not going to decide the issue. The case will then, if the Supreme Court upholds the Ninth Circuit decision, it merely means that the class is valid, that they do have standing to sue. And it looks like the justices in the Supreme Court feel that way. Neil Gorsuch did not, apparently, but he wondered whether – actually, no, I'm sorry, he did. He wondered whether the 1977 ruling was still valid in the modern marketplace. Justice Roberts' question suggested he agreed with Apple. Neil Kavanaugh apparently did not. Elena Kagan, who is one of the so-called liberal justices, although I don't think we should really characterize him that way, said, from my perspective, I've just engaged in a one-step transaction with Apple. The issue is if 30% goes to, I think, the issue is if 30% goes to Apple, do the developers then pass that cost on to everybody else, to people who are buying apps? In other words, do you pay more for apps because of Apple's cut? And if the class, and I think that's what the class action suit is essentially based on. But again, it's up to the Supreme Court to allow that suit to go forward. At that point, many years in the distant future, this case will be decided by a lower court. So they're just deciding whether the lawsuit can go forward based on, completely based on the standing of the plaintiffs.
And,